ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing discussion of fridge magnet philosophy. Basic idea that, yeah, philosophy, good, do it. But not superficially. Really try to understand. One of the fridge magnet themes or messages, I didn't say, was eat, sleep, philosophy. In other words, eat as much as you need, sleep as much as you need, and rest of the time philosophy. So actually, if you're going to get into philosophy, yeah, you just can't look at, you just can't put something on the fridge and have a look at it now and then be here now or whatever. It's really something to get into deeply. But then philosophy means searching for truth, and better than that is finding the truth. But the bottom-up approach to philosophy is that you never find it. We had some kind of understanding that, or what we can say, the Western approach to knowledge is the idea that, well, knowledge is vast and we can find out something now and then we'll find out something in the future. We'll find out something more. I've several times given this example that whatever is being taught as science at the present time in the schools and universities in the world, now, just presuming if the world and so-called civilization goes on the way it's been going on for the last 1,000 years or so, say it goes on for another 1,000 years or 2,000 years, more or less in the same way, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, experimenting, speculating, then just like the science of 500 years ago is now considered very primitive, backward, and they really didn't know what they were talking about. There's some idea. So if we go 1,000 years in the future, they'll say, if they look back and they say, oh, 2019, science, oh, they were just primitive and backward, they didn't really know what they're talking about. So that means that actually now what we think is knowledge is primitive, backward, and we don't know what we're talking about. Because what goes on in the name of knowledge or philosophy is we start off understanding we're in ignorance and we just try to project our intelligence out there and try and gather some things and cook it all up in our brains and try to make some sense out of it. Something like the blind men all trying to find out what the elephant is. But it's a bit different because the blind men are actually holding on to a real elephant, but the philosophers, they don't even have an elephant to hold on to. They don't have any actual connection with reality. So there's the bottom-up process. I think, therefore I exist. It starts with that. Okay, something I can really know. What can I really know? Well, I know that I exist. Whew, that's great. After Descartes, and that's maybe a few thousand years if you start with the Greeks. Of course, there was a big lapse in between in which there was not much philosophy going on. But what a great, that was a breakthrough. I exist. Wow. Brilliant. One of the founder of modern philosophy. Came up with the understanding, I exist, something I can know for sure. You exist, that I can't say. And then we come up with solipsism, where just all I know is that I exist. And you exist, I don't know. It looks to me like you exist, but I can't say, because I don't feel what you feel. I don't. Whereas the Vedic approach is completely different because it's Veda starts out with the idea that there is knowledge. There is knowledge and we can understand it, but we have to know how to access it. That's all. So it's a completely different approach. So although these fridge magnet philosophies might seem to be profound and deep And there are some insights there. Just like in the night, there may be some flashes of lightning, and we get a little illumination, but that's not enough to see. This example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, the description of autumn, the little flashes of lightning. We get some little insights. Whereas, Tesham Aditya Vajjnanam. How does that verse begin? Agyana Tutir Agyana. Yesham Nashram Atmanaha Tesham Aditya Vajjnanam Prakashyati Tadparam. That in ignorance, then, yeah, it's darkness. But when the sun rises, we can see everything clearly. That example is there, given in the Bhagavad Gita. So, we can continue with the few quotes from... This is taken from a website where they're actually trying to sell you these things. So you could, because fridge magnet philosophy, yeah, it's a business, right? You can sell it. A business, that will go on. Philosophy or no philosophy, business will go on. Philosophy 101. You know what 101 means? It means the very first lesson. It's actually philosophy lesson one and point one. So philosophy. So it's a saying in America. I guess they in their schools they teach like that. 1.01, 1.02. Philosophy 101. So what is philosophy? How to get a grip on reality and choke it to death. Some sarcastic saying. Attitude is the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. That's one of those sayings. Wow, what a wonderful saying. Attitude is the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. Really? Okay. So let's torture someone. And you can, if you have a good, have a positive attitude while your teeth are being pulled out without any anesthetic with a pair of pliers. And it's an adventure, right? If it's just a positive attitude. Not everything that sounds profound is sane, even, what to speak of intelligent. Fall seven times, stand up eight. Okay, but in the light of birth, death, old age, birth, death, old age, and disease, there's going to be some time when you fall down and you're not going to get up. Right? So what's the word for falling in Sanskrit? You all know. Patan. So what does the Srimad Bhagavatam say about this? Ladva sudurlabhamidang bahu sambhavante manusha matadam anityam api hadhira turnam yateta napatit. I stopped it. I was emphasizing that word. Anumritya yava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. That we got the human form of life. We fell. That word is given in the Bhagavatam also. Deha apatya kalatada. Apatya means children, means they fall out of the womb. There you are. So we fell. Anadi karma phale pari bhavana vajale. Since time we fell into the world of the ocean of repeated birth and death. Okay, now we got a human birth. That was very rare, but we got it. You understand what I'm talking about? Any ants down there? Do you know? Yeah, there is something there. You understand what I'm talking about? No, he doesn't understand. He's also a jiva, but he's in an ant body, so can't understand. Now you have the human form of life. It's very rare, it's very valuable, has a specific purpose, but we're going to die soon. So before we die, before we fall down, we have to get that knowledge by which we won't fall down ever again. That means we won't get born again. So fall seven times, stand up eight. It might sound good, but it's useless, actually. Without knowledge of our actual existential position, that we are in this world of birth and death, then the idea is fall down seven times, stand up eight. Doesn't help. You may say that, but we may not have the strength to stand up, just like, where's Ram? Oh, there you are. Your grandmother. She has difficulty standing up, right? There comes a time. It's all right to, yeah, stand up, be strong, but, I don't know. The body gets old and doesn't have much strength. So it's this false pride. We stand up, but what if you don't have the strength, the physical strength? Where does that come from? The source of all strength. So there's so much lacking in these ideas. Benjamin Franklin, while we may not be able to control all that happens to us, we can control what happens inside us. Yeah, we can control what happens inside, but that takes a practice also. Otherwise, very difficult to control the mind. Chanchalam hi manah krishna pramati balavadritam tasyaham nigraham manye vayariva sudushkaram. Very difficult to control the mind. Can we control the wind? No. Can we control the mind? It seems almost as difficult, but Krishna says, Asangshayam mahabaho manodur nigraham chalam abhyasena tukontaya vairagena chagrihate. Yep, you're right, Krishna said. You're right. You're right. It is difficult to control, but there is a means to do so. It's not just by putting a philosophy magnet on your fridge. You have to undertake actual sadhana. And that I'm going to come to in the next round. Love is all you need. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't think we even need to discuss that. It's so shallow. Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. From Winston Churchill. There's another saying that the only thing we learn from history is that no one ever learns from history. And it's a fact, isn't it? People do the same stupid things, and we think that why are they doing that? Why are they making war and all this? But it's just that's the history of the world. It goes on like that. Feminism, think it's something new? No, it's in every the fall down of every civilization. Strong civilization is marked by a phase of feminism. When feminism comes in, you know that this strong civilization is on its way out. It's almost like you can examine the life cycle of, it's like you can examine the life cycle of an amoeba or something like that. So, it goes on. Question everything. Two words. Why should we take what you say? Question everything. It's an imperative, an order. So then we question the order to question everything also. It's one of those self-defeating sayings, never say never. You say never say never, well, you already just said it twice. I don't believe anything. Do you believe what you just said? It's self-defeating. Here's a funny one. How many philosophers does it take to change a light bulb? This is based on racialistic jokes, such as, when I was a kid, I heard, how many Chinamen does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is 100. One to hold the light bulb and 99 to turn the wall. So it's a racialistic joke. We're not supposed to make those kind of jokes anymore. It used to be on the TV in England. There used to be all kinds of racialistic jokes, but they're not anymore. You're not allowed to do that anymore. So how many philosophers does it take to change a light bulb? What's the answer? The answer is define light bulb. Just taking a good-natured poke at the whole enterprise of philosophy. That reminds me, many years ago, Suhotra Swami came up to me and he said that he was in his joking mood. He was in various moods, often in his joking mood. his satirical mood. So he said that such and such a temple, they don't have a town president, but they're not going to appoint a temple president for some time. First of all, they're going to try to understand what it means to be a temple president. So he was joking about that. It's just, you know, town president means you go in and do the job, that's all. But,
what to think about this? What are your rights and responsibilities, and
so on and so on and so on. The probability, Abraham Lincoln, the great hero of America, who was, anyway, let's not talk about his defects here. The probability that we may fail in the struggle ought not to deter us from the support of a cause we believe to be just. Okay, great believer in justice and truth and all this kind of thing. Okay. All right, birth, death, old age, and disease. Let's measure everything in terms of this. Without understanding the real problem of life, everything is, it's as the bard said, Shakespeare said, life is but a stage. We're just on a stage and we're all playing some role. I was just reading Srila Prabhupada, this nato natyadharo yata, that Krishna is something like an actor. He's not alaksham sarvabhutanam. He's not understood by, even though Krishna is the dearest person to everyone, but he's not recognized, just like an actor on a stage is not recognized. So it may be that even the father is on the stage and the child doesn't recognize, because he projects a different voice and wears a different costume and has a different mood. So without knowing that, everything is... Oh, here's a new agey one. I am infinite creativity. I am absolute freedom. I am all-embracing harmony. I am joy for joy's sake. So what's the response to that philosophy? What do you say? You don't say anything. It's Srila Prabhupada had a four-word response to that. Four words. What's the response? Anyone? Boot in the face. That's all. I am infinite creativity. Oh, hey, I've got some creativity too. Just nonsense. You're not infinite creativity. It's just ridiculous. I am absolute freedom. It's just ridiculous. When you have to go and pass stool, then where's your freedom to hold it in? You get a toothache. I am free from the toothache. You're not free. We're conditioned by the... So many nonsense things. Plato, the learning and knowledge that we have is at the most but little compared with that which we are ignorant. Okay, that's a good start. That is a good start, to understand that we are ignorant. If you believe it, you can achieve it. Nonsense. That already we discussed yesterday, a similar thing. If you're 5 foot 2 inches tall and you want to be the world heavyweight boxing champion, forget it. You can believe it as much as you like, but you're not going to achieve it. There are Winston Churchill, I am easily satisfied with the very best. Yeah, good. Do the very best for Krishna. Anyway, the point again that we have to go deeply, understand, and not just some slogans which you, when you're half drunk at a party, you can say some philosophy. Okay, let's get over to the world of India and the great philosophies coming from India. More stereotypical, more along that line. I am infinite creativity. I am joy for joy's sake. This is New Age, derived from the... These are some things popped up on the internet. from Swami Muktananda. Honor yourself, worship yourself, meditate on yourself. God dwells within you as you see God in each other. And it's the typical kind of thing you get from Indian Mayavadis. And it's gone all over the world now with people like Swami Muktananda. Now, that is derived from Shankara's Advaita Vad, right? The idea that Tattvamasi, Pragyanam Brahma, you are God, you are Supreme Consciousness. But Shankara didn't teach that for everyone. For the common, he didn't give that for the common man. It's not that you're supposed to, you go on the internet and you see something saying we are all God, and then you go, you know, you brush your teeth and go to work and get stuck in the traffic jam and think I'm God. This Buddhism has also come to the West, and the idea, yeah, you just be a Buddhist. And well, I guess with Mahayana Buddhism, you can do anything and be a Buddhist, but the original Buddhism, the Buddha taught, it was a heavily disciplined. A lot of austerity. Not just, I'm a Buddhist, and that's it. The Theravada Buddhists, which means the original teachings, they rightly say that what the Mahayana is just nonsense. I mean, in terms of, anyway, it's all nonsense, but just someone somewhere, some hundreds of years after the Buddha, dreamed up some idea that, well, you don't have to do all these austerities, you can just be a Buddhist, and that's it. That is an oversimplification, no doubt. But this idea, well, yeah, we're all God, you just feel that you're God. But Shankara, who brought out this idea, of course he didn't originate it, but he gave a path of Vedanta Patan Dhyan, of studying Vedanta and Dhyan, meditation, attendant with much austerity. So just to say, I'm God, and then and while you're going around your materialistic life, that wasn't Shankara's teachings at all. Those who originally taught this, it was never meant to be a mass philosophy. Shankara, for the common man, gave the... Actually, he opposed the Kamamimamsakas, but that he allowed that within his system. In one sense, he didn't reject the Kamamimamsa, but he said it's not the highest goal. He did argue with the Mimamsakas and converted some of them to be his sannyasis, but he didn't reject. It's a Vedic path of karma. But they've just made it very cheap, just some slogans that you think you're God, which anyway is nonsense. And as Christian missionaries in India found out, and up to the present day they say that this idea, that what is actually going on in the Indian culture when they talk of God, generally it's atheism. Well, that's another whole topic. As somehow in the West they have the idea that Hindus are all impersonalists and they believe that ultimately we're all God. Somehow they missed, they just missed the fact of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Vallabhacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they just missed all of that, and as if it's... But none of these Vaishnava Acharyas subscribe to the idea that, yeah, we're doing bhakti and then we'll become God. That's what the Shankarites say. That, okay, they're doing bhakti, and later on they can go further and become God. So it is actually some... To say that we're all God, what does it mean? It's a ridiculous thing to say, because God means the supreme, and as soon as you see everyone is supreme, then the very definition of God is gone. Just like you could say that, well, everyone in India is the Prime Minister of India. What is the meaning? You can say like that if you change the meaning of Prime Minister to mean everyone, but then there's no meaning to the word Prime Minister. You don't even need the word Prime Minister. You don't need the word God if everyone's God. Then there's no need for it. If you say that everyone's spiritual, okay, that's all right. But if you're going to say everyone's supreme, then the word supreme has no meaning. And people don't, they, They like to say these things. God dwells within you as you. I say like that, but what does it mean actually? What does it mean? God dwells within you as you. That means you are God. It's absurd. If you take the actual definition of God as being the supreme, it's absurd to say that we are supreme. And the same example goes that if we're supreme, then why are we controlled? I didn't choose to get born in the particular body I'm born in. I didn't choose to get this disease and that disease and the other disease. Then from the Western sage who's Ramdas, another rascal. Actually, Ramdas is a very good name, but these people, they misappropriate. It's like Ramakrishna, it's a very good name, but it's an excellent name. But it's been appropriated by people who they've really, really, really messed up the whole understanding of spiritual life. All paths lead to the same goal. Then there's no need to follow any specific path. Or you can just say, what I'm doing is my path. And then the whole endeavor for sadhana just gets thrown out. So here's Ramdas. Ask yourself, where am I? Answer, here. Ask yourself, what time is it? Answer, now. Say it until you can hear it. Is there any need to discuss this? But these people, people think, oh, very profound. Again, we're grateful that Prabhupada came and told us Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I wonder who gave him the name Maharishi. He probably gave it to himself. I don't know. I don't know, because he wasn't well known until he came to the West. Did he come to the West as a yogi? He was some kind of economics professor or something like that. Well, I don't know exactly. Then, usually someone bestows this title on someone, but I don't know. The genius of man is hidden in the silent, settled state of mind from where every thought emerges. The genius of man is hidden in the silent, settled state of mind from where every thought emerges. Does every thought emerge from a silent, settled state of mind? Most people don't have any silent, settled state of mind ever, but they still have plenty of thoughts. So what does this mean? The important thing is this, to be another from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who's always smiling. I've always been very skeptical of people who are always smiling. Can't trust them. The important thing is this, to be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. It's the kind of thing which doesn't really tell you anything. The important thing is to be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. What can we take out of that practically? Anything practical? And there's no clear direction or clear understanding, nothing. Something from Sadhguru, IamFearlessSoul.com. Incredible things can be done simply if we are committed to making them happen. As if it's something really original. Another from Amma. God has no separate... Oh. Same nonsense. God has no separate hands, legs, eyes, or body other than our own. What a nonsense thing to say. The cosmic power inside each one of us is God. And what is this? Going around telling you are God. Going around telling everyone you are God. Why do they do this? What is the benefit to anyone? Obviously we're not. If you need to be told that you're God, then you're not God, right? God should not be in ignorance that he's God.
Ah, oh, Hare Krishna.
If we want to eliminate the end, another one from Amma. If we want to eliminate the enemies that lurk in the innermost depths of the heart, we have to serve the world. We have to serve the world. What does that mean? Serve the world. All vague. From Sri Neem Karoli Baba Maharaj, love all men as God. Same thing. Everyone is God. Even if they hurt you or shame you, be like Gandhi and Christ. We're talking about the defects of Gandhi's idea. Be good to everyone. Be fair. I was just talking about this yesterday. So, the British split India into India and Pakistan. All the weapons were in India, not in Pakistan. And the Indian government in Delhi didn't want to give it to Pakistan. And Mahatma Gandhi said, no, you have to give it to them. Give them their fair share. So on the strength of Mahatma, because they had great reverence for Mahatma Gandhi, they did. So they gave the fair share of the weapons to Pakistan. They organized themselves and attacked India. So be like Gandhi. There's a whole thing going on at the present time with a bunch of people saying that Godse was good. They're observing Godse's birthday. Godse, the assassin of Naturam Godse, who assassinated Gandhi. I heard someone say that, well, he made a great mistake in doing so. Very serious mistake in assassinating. What was the mistake? He should have done so long before. I won't say who said it. Another one from Neem Karoli Baba. All religions are the same. They all lead to God. God is everybody. Very powerful words. It's like it's almost you want to throw up. Horrible ideas. God is everybody. God is everybody. No. Wrong. Spiritual leader. People accept him as a spiritual leader. Then we come on to the ISKCON memes. Now these are published in the name of various ISKCON preachers and leaders. Now, on their behalf, I'm going to make an apology? That's not exactly the right word. But it is possible that people take take it out of context, and stick it on the internet. Taking things out of context, or not putting it fully. Just like the story that the Muslim used to go to the mosque regularly, then he stopped going. So one day in the bazaar, you know this story, yeah? One day in the bazaar he met the imam, and the imam said, why are you coming to the, not come to the mosque anymore? So he said, well, I read in a book, it said you should never go inside the mosque. It was a book of religious instruction. I said, really? Where is that book? He said, show it to me. And so you should never go, it's at the bottom of the page. I guess the pages go the other way if it's in Urdu or whatever. So he said, you should never enter the mosque. He turned the page and said, without washing your hands and legs. So, taken out of context. It could give a different instruction altogether. Another thing is that many of our ISKCON preachers and leaders, they're very busy, so they may not have time to check on all these things. I know one of my disciples a few years ago wanted to do this for me also, that take some sayings of mine and put some waterfalls and mountains in the background. I told him, just don't do it, that's all. If people want, they can listen to a lecture instead of taking two or three lines. So with that, qualification. So here's one saying from, I'm not going to say the names, otherwise I'll get accused of Vaishnava Parad, and I might be anyway. So here's this, superimposed on a picture of huge waves of the ocean. If the religions are hateful, this must have been done by, if the religious are hateful, they've missed the essence of their practice. Okay, I guess anyone could say that. There's no Krishna there. If you see something you don't like in another person, appreciate that they're showing you what you need to work out in yourself. Okay. That's all right. Still doesn't take us to Krishna, but it's not a bad saying at all. If you see something you don't like in another person, appreciate that they're showing you, it was not necessarily, but it could be a lesson, a negative teaching. If you see something, I don't want to be like that. Now here's a strange one. These are from ISKCON preachers. What you speak about, you will see. Speak negatively and your reality becomes negative. What you speak about, you will see. Maybe, and what's it supposed to mean? That in at least in a future life you'll get to see it? Or it's not necessarily just like if you speak about lots of money, lots of money, lots of money, lots of money. Not necessarily you're going to see lots of money. Speak negatively and your reality becomes negative. What does that mean, your reality? Is it the idea that everyone has their own individual reality? There's some idea like that, isn't it? That everyone... reality is individually defined, but there is an absolute reality. Your reality becomes negative. Your attitude, your consciousness becomes negative. But then if there's something is wrong and you speak negatively about it, then two negatives become a positive, isn't it? How about that for logic? Here's another one from an ISKCON preacher. When you are connected with the source of everything, fear is gone. Okay, who's the source of everything? This is shown in a sunset at the edge of a beach, the beach with the sea and a sunset and what looks like a woman silhouetted, holding her hand out. So it gives the idea the source of everything is like nature or something like that. And they show nature pictures. When you're connected with the source of everything, but it gives the idea the source of everything is vague nature. And why do they have to have some woman's picture? I don't know. Love is the ultimate thing that makes a relationship work. Again, I think this is probably taken out of context, because what does it mean, love? What does it mean to make a relationship work? In this material world, relationship work means that you get on with each other more or less, but what's the point? Everything will be destroyed in course of time. The relationship will break. Who is the relationship with? That's the point. Krishna. So what we find in these internet memes from ISKCON preachers is there's all kinds of things said. There's no sign of Krishna. It could be said just by any new age, the same thing. So what's the difference? There are already dozens of people out there talking all platitudes. Here's another one. Love is everlasting forgiveness. Love is everlasting forgiveness. That means you're always everlasting. What is? Oh, that means you forgive forever. I see. But the idea of forgiving rests on the sense that I've been wronged. isn't it? So if you have the sense that I've been wronged, well, that's not even a Vaishnava sense, that I've been... It's always that someone's done something wrong to, okay, I will forgive you. You are actually wrong, but I'm forgiving you. But that's not a Vaishnava way of thinking at all. So again, it may have been quoted out of context. You never know. But it's definitely not anything that that any of our previous acharyas or shastra have taught. And then there's another one from one of our ISKCON preachers with a photo of him with artificially a photoshopped aura around his body. Cheap tricks. The miracle of being an instrument of kindness is the most powerful of all. Well, in this regard, I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 12, text 135, in which he's quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The word jiv hingsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakar, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic, yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But this is all to be considered dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. So I think you can find the connection between this quote and these new agey kind of sayings which are put out there on the internet. Another one. They got a photo of him without any tilak. Don't ever photo me without any tilak, please. So it's just a simple thing. Success of our activities is when we have absorption in God. Yeah, the problem is that you have all these other new agey preachers going around saying God is within you. You are the God. What we just read some of them. God is within you and is you. Everyone is God. So without defining who is God, then it becomes meaningless or misleading, or it doesn't really go anywhere. Okay, here's another one. Express gratitude for the difficulties because they are our biggest teachers. Really? Difficulties are our biggest teachers. Well, we're supposed to surrender to a guru as our biggest teachers. Express gratitude to who? You express gratitude to the difficulties? It's impersonal, isn't it? Here's another one from an ISKCON preacher. The mind may show us a horror movie, but we don't have to watch it. And then it says Gita 06.06. Okay, good. I say that's pretty good because it gives the Gita and it's an ISKCON devotee, and presumably if they're going to go to the Gita and it's an ISKCON, then they'll go to Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. The mind may show us a horror movie, but we don't have to watch it. Gita chapter 6, text 6 is Bandhur Atma Manastasya Yen Atmai Vatmana Jita Anatmanastu Shatratve Vartet Atmaiva Shatruvat. The mind can be the best friend of the living being and his worst enemy. So the quote, the mind may show us a horror movie, but we don't have to watch it. We don't have to get involved with the activities of the mind. So it's not necessarily that they're all wrong or bad. That's pretty good, I would say, because, like I said, it links you to the Gita immediately. So here's another one. Leadership is about speaking less and doing more. It is the art of daring, caring, and sharing. It's talking about leadership. Daring, caring, and sharing. I don't think those things, daring, caring, and sharing, were put there to actually describe what leadership. It's just because it rhymes and it sounds good, isn't it? If you had to teach three things which are the essence of leadership, would you say daring, caring, and sharing? It just it sounds good. That's all. He says leadership is about speaking less and doing more. But Srila Prabhupada spoke of lazy intelligence. Doing more, you get others to do more. That's leadership. Now, I'm just wondering about this. Would Srila Prabhupada approve of all this? In this regard, I'm going to quote two quotes from Srila Prabhupada. The first one is from a letter which he wrote in regard to, there was a road show which, it was a rock opera which was supposed to give the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "So far the road show and this yoga village are concerned, these things should be stopped. Simply perform our kirtan. If we divert our attention in this way, the whole thing will gradually deteriorate. All these things are nonsense inventions." So this also, putting things out on the internet, vague things with pictures of the nature. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Such inventing spirit will ruin our movement. People may come to see, some will become devotees, but such devotees will not stay because they are attracted by some show and not by the real thing or spiritual life according to the standard of Lord Chaitanya. Our standard is to have kirtan and to start temples. What is this road show and yoga village? It will be another hippie addition. Gradually the Krishna consciousness idea will evaporate. Another change, every day another change. Stop all this, simply have kirtan, nothing else. Don't manufacture ideas." So that letter could be cited as a reply to the whole so-called bridge preaching. Here's Srila Prabhupada writing about the content of Back to Godhead magazine. "Actually, people are seeking after transcendental reading matter more and more. So if we stick to our standard, as I have given you, then there is no doubt they will come to read our magazines in great numbers. Now make it very attractive with our Krishna conscious subject matter, as you have outlined, and our Back to Godhead will be very much in demand without further changes. I have seen one Christian newspaper which is trying to attract the readers by resort to fashionable phrases." Just see. All these things, fashionable phrases. "Love is everlasting forgiveness." Fashionable phrase. "By resort to fashionable phrases and materialistic themes of mass public interest, simply because they have not got any real substance for attracting. They offer what they think the public might like, such as sex, crimes, amusements like that." Well, that is not our method. "We have got such stock of real substance that alone it is sufficient to capture the readers without such ordinary tricks and commercial formulas." So that's the point. We have in Krishna consciousness so much real information and valuable information. Why do we have to, why is someone who's supposed to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada have to put out, "Leadership is about speaking less and doing more. It is the art of daring, caring and sharing. Express gratitude for the difficulties because they are our biggest teachers." It's not that there's not any truth in it. We can learn so many things from the difficulties, but they're not our biggest teachers, because everyone goes through difficulties. But it's only when you get some proper understanding from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra that you can see in the light of Shastric knowledge, Shastra Chakshu, see through the eye of Shastra, then these difficulties can teach us. Otherwise people don't learn from difficulties. So there's a few thoughts about that. "The miracle of being an instrument of kindness is the most powerful of all. But without defining it, Mother Teresa's kindness, Tomar Balo Bhasha, Mushomaner Murgir Posha." Srila Prabhupada used to quote that Bengali saying that your love is like the a Muslim nourishing a chicken. I guess Hindus didn't used to eat chickens, so nowadays all over Bengal they eat chickens. I guess every household here has chickens running around. But the idea, you love the chicken, you feed and look after very nicely, and one day you kill him. So he's saying your love is like the Muslims nourishing a chicken. So what is that kindness? Yeah, so kindness means to preach Krishna consciousness, and without preaching that, it is jivhingsa. Jivhingsa, envy of other living entities, means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So to say things like this, the miracle of being an instrument of kindness is the most powerful of all. That's for people's Shreya Uttamam, the highest benefit they can get. You're not going to get it by saying these things. There are already dozens of nonsense people out there saying all these things. By Prabhupada's grace, we have the highest teachings. Why should we imitate these fools and rascals who are simply misleading people? Yeah, maybe the idea is people, they'll hear this and they'll be attracted, and then you can bring them in and you can tell them the real thing and this and that. But again, why? Then you're in competition with the Neem Karoli Babas and the Muktanandas and all this and that. Why should we be in competition? We've got something much better to give. So, Hare Krishna, enough. Alam, alam. Alam iti vistarena. Enough said for now. Anything? Comment? Question?
When we express this mayavad in English, I am God, you are God, it becomes very absurd. But when Shankara brings out these verses of...
When Shankara brings it out? In Sanskritam?
Yeah, it becomes very complex philosophy to...
In Sanskrit, it actually sounds very profound. It sounds very profound. I just, if you can think of anything, maybe that the one work of Shankara's in which it's really Mayavada on amphetamines, you could say, is that Viveka Churamani, yeah. From beginning to end, it's hardcore Mayavad, in which again and again you meditate on the fact that you are the Supreme and all this and that. So yeah, it sounds quite profound, but when Neem Karoli Baba says it, especially when you have the picture of him, it looks as tamasic as himself. Yeah. But even Shankara, he says some good things also. If we take it in our context, that Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahman. This Shabda Jala, the net of words, is like a great forest which simply deludes the or confuses the mind. Then there's one verse, where is it? Maybe that's Vivek Churamani also. Santa Nivasanti. Anyone? You won't know. I saw it once. I read it in a book by this Chandrasekhar Indran. He'd quoted it. And I think several of us have read some of Chandrasekhar Indran's book. And there's something there. But you really have to filter it. That's the trick of Mayavad, that there is something there. It's derived from the Vedas, but it is misleading. Srila Prabhupada wrote that in terms of, we agree with the Mayavadis up to the point of liberation. The Mayavadis would also quite happily quote this, Ladva sudur labamidam bahu sambhavante, perfectly fits. And I'm talking about actual Mayavad, not these neo-internet populist Mayavadis. The Labdhasudalabham fits exactly. The verse doesn't actually say be Krishna conscious. It says get free from birth and death. So they would agree. But then what is the nature of liberation? Then the divide comes. And what is the... What is the nature of liberation? And then that's based on understanding what is the nature of Brahma. Because we begin with this, we follow the same Vedanta Sutras. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Jamatiya Siyayata. Same, we all agree. But what is King Tad Brahma? What is that Brahma? Arjuna asks. And Krishna just, all those, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, he gives an answer which just, then the next question is, what is Akshara? Krishna just gives a very short reply. Because he wants to get through to the important thing about the time of death. But all these things are important. What to do at the time of death? Prayana kale chakatam geyosini atatma bihi. What should a self-controlled person do at the time of death? He doesn't even ask about the person who's not self-controlled. Because for them it's just mrityu samsara vatnani, just floating in the world of birth and death. So there are so many things we have in common with Shankara, but then what is the nature of Brahma? Then there's a very, very big divide. Otherwise, same thing. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could speak with Sambhava Bhattacharya, because they understand the same thing. Shabda Yonitvat. The Brahma is described in Shastra. So same premises, but then how to understand it, that's completely different. And the argument will go on forever. It will go on forever. That, you remember in Sri Rangam where we had that Shravan Kirtan Kam, how much that Tartacha he was appreciating. What was his full name? He's another Lakshmi Tathacha, but from some Vasudevan, yeah, Sri Vasudevan. How much he was appreciating Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. He got the point. He understood the essence of why Prabhupada's great. In one sense, it's not really that he made so many temples all over the world. That stemmed from his presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he was prepared to do that. And even if no one had ever joined him, he would have never put out something on the internet saying, love is eternal forgiveness. He would have never done that, because he wasn't concerned with getting the masses in by any means whatsoever. He was absolutely fixed on the point that we have to give Bhagavad Gita as it is. And therefore Krishna sent so many people who were prepared to accept that. Anything else? Parivadata jano yata tata va nano mokaro navayam vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. This Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur sometimes used to quote at the end of classes. It's from the Padavali compiled by Rupa Goswami, in which mostly not his own verses. So the meaning is that people, they say so many things. Let them say so many things about us. What we don't care what they say. But being intoxicated by the wine of Hari Rasa, we will roll on the ground and dance, not caring for others. So he said that at the end of his classes, because he'd say so many things which people, they hear that, they become all upset. So anyway, whatever you say, we'll chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Then another one he used to quote, Dante nidhaya trinakam padayo nipatya kakushatam kritvacha kakushatam etadaham bravimi he sadhava sakala mevivahaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragam. It's same kind of mood but a different approach. That taking straw in my teeth, being very humble, I fall at your feet. Padiya nipatya, again that patan, falling at your feet. Having done that with appealing to you again and again in a plaintive voice, kaku shatam, again and again. This I have to say to you. What is that? Hey sadhava, oh great saintly person, Just give all up the nonsense hogwash. This is how Prabhupada explained it. Just give up all your hogwash ideas and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, another verse he often used to end his talks with, Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kivasanti vyavacha papitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. And we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.